Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a subject I've been sharing on the presence of the Lord. How important is that realization that once we accept Jesus into our lives and He dwells in our innermost man, in our heart, in our spirit, that we can have that assurance that He is with us always. He will never depart from us. One of the most beautiful comments I think that Jesus ever made when He was praying to His Father is recorded in the Gospel of John, 17th chapter. He said, "Father, I've not lost one whom You've given Me." Not one whom the Father has given Jesus, He has kept. He will always keep us in safety. Does that mean to say we won't go through trials and testings and sometimes very great challenges to our faith and to our walk? Yes. In fact, some of God's choicest vessels, some of His most precious saints, sometimes go through a fiery furnace of affliction. And like Job, they don't have understanding, they don't have reasons, they don't know why. Some people say, well, if you had faith to believe the word of God, or there must be sin in your life. There's never a lack of Job's comforters. Nonetheless, if you're going through a season like that, your heart, if there's anything in your life that's not right, the Holy Spirit is very able not to condemn you, but He will convict and He will let you know if there is an area that you need to come before the Lord and repent. But our God is a good God. He's a gracious God. He's not a hard taskmaster. The Word tells us His yoke is easy, His burden is light, and He takes great delight in us. Zephaniah says He rejoices over us with singing. Imagine that we know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us in a capacity, in a dimension that we cannot fully comprehend. If we could even stand in the Lord's presence, I don't think we could grasp the enormity, the greatness, the awesomeness of His love and care for us. We're limited, finite human creatures, and we can, if God blesses us, can experience love, various kinds of love. The perfect love of a husband and wife united in Christ, brotherly love, phileo love, romantic love, or love for family and loved ones. There's many ways that we can experience aspects of God's love, but there is none as perfect, as complete, and as fulfilling as the love of God. And we can persuade it, as Paul said, neither height, depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from that love. So we're talking about the divine presence, and the more as you go through your day, just quietly be aware that the Lord is with you. If you've got problems you're facing, ask the Holy Spirit. I'm just amazed at the brilliance of the Holy Spirit. That might sound funny, but sometimes I said, Lord, what's an answer? And He just shows me a way to do something that I would have never thought of. It's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. That's great. And so I invite you, fellowship with the Lord. Be aware of His presence. And He delights in that. There's nothing that He enjoys more. In fact, as we see even in that perfect state with Adam and Eve, He came down, the Father did, to walk with His children in the cool of the day. What did they talk about? I don't know, but they had wonderful fellowship. And so regardless of what you go through, be assured, beloved, that the Lord is with you. And He's going to dwell with us. That's the exciting thing. Exodus 33:16 says, the divine presence causes us to be different from all the peoples on the face of the earth. That's what the Lord spoke through Moses in Exodus. For the word of the Lord says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." God had a purpose for what he did in calling the Jews to be his people. And because of that election, because of that calling, they were distinct. Just as God's people today, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female, there is no distinction in Christ, so we should be different from all the peoples on the face of the earth. We walk according to heavenly sounds. We walk according to divine statutes. We walk according to the will of God. And that makes us stand out in very predominant, very extraordinary ways from the ways of the world, which are becoming increasingly evil, perverse, and dark. In Exodus 25 and 8, God not only chose Israel to be his people, but he directs Moses on Mount Sinai. He gives him some very specific instructions. He says, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." This was when he was on Mount Sinai. And this, of course, was the Ark of the Covenant. God was very specific as far as dimensions and everything that pertained to it. And God, through that Ark of the Covenant, he would literally manifest himself to his people. And today, we have the actual Spirit of God dwelling, not in an ark, not in a church building, but in the Old Testament, it was the Ark, but now he dwells within the spirit of man, of everyone who is born again. And the wonderful thing is, not only do we desire the presence of the Lord, it was his desire. He wants to be with us. So let's now look at a scriptural reference I made, yesterday or the day before, as we go into the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 5, I'd like to share with you. But before I share that, let us take a brief history of the Ark. In the book of Samuel, there was a priest named Eli, and his sons were very wicked. And an unnamed prophet, a man of God, came to him one day and prophesied the destruction of his house. The Lord said, "For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." And it came to pass that when Israel went out to battle to meet their enemy, the Philistines, that they were smitten before them. They were defeated. So what did they do? They brought the Ark of the Lord out of Shiloh. That was the veritable presence of God, hoping, trusting that it would save them out of the hand of their enemies. And in one day, the word of the Lord that was spoken through the young boy, Prophet Samuel, and he spoke that to Eli. In one day, the Lord fulfilled all that he said against the house of Eli. And it was his sons that were wicked, but it says as far as the father was going, he was wicked in that he restrained them not. He had parental authority, and he just kind of let them go. Well, now, boys, you know, it's not good what you're doing. Well, he had the authority to do much more than he did, apparently, because God was holding him culpable as well. So what happened? Both his sons were slain. He himself fell off a wall and broke his neck when he heard the news that the Ark of God was taken. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas's wife, died in birth, and that child that she brought forth, she named that boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory of the Lord is departed from Israel." And the Philistines captured the Ark of God. It was in their land for 7 months. And of course, if you know the story, they went through all kinds of things. They kept moving it from city to city because they were suffering the wrath of the Lord. And when the Ark was returned to Israel, the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and brought it into the house of Abinadab and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep and preserve and safeguard the Ark of the Lord. And it stayed there for 20 years. And the word of the Lord says, "And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord." Samuel once spoke to the people of Israel, and he said, "If you do return unto the Lord with all of your hearts and put away strange gods. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. In other words, we can say today, he will deliver us from the hand of the enemy, the works of darkness that would come against us. So let's read now chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And he brought them together. Why? He said his purpose in verse 3, let us bring again the ark of God to us. And for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. And so David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hemath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. Praise God. And then, as we read on further, we see in verse 6 that David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. Praise God. Well, I've just glanced at the clock. My time has rapidly diminished, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. So we're going to continue on and see what lessons we can learn from the life of David, because he learned some very powerful lessons as he had this godly desire to bring God's literal presence to dwell in the city of David. And we, as New Testament believers, can learn the lessons from his example that God wanted him to understand before God would honor all of Israel with his presence among them. Praise God. So I invite you to tune in tomorrow, and if any time you miss a broadcast, you may feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. They are archived there for a number of years. Praise God. And if you have prayer needs, I do, as always, invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I thank you for listening. I thank you for your prayers. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.